There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the half. Pressure right in his face. Watson is swarmed under. His line got thrown back at him.
That was the Fox telecast. Jason Benetti on the call of one of seven sacks of Deshaun Watson by the Washington defense yesterday. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will take you up to 6:30 today. Have a great show planned for you, including ahead of the Blitz at 4, Caps tickets to be won. You got to be listening and ready to dial at 4 if you want to see them take on the Stars on October 17th. That's 1 hour from right now that we're giving those tickets away. Jay Gruden on Jaden Daniels. Gruden joins us for his normal 20-minute appointment. That is 1 hour after the Blitz coming up at 5 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. Before we get to game balls to the best, and you could tell us who gets your game ball from yesterday's domination at the hands of the Browns, 800-636-1067. One of the guys that played very well and I think has quietly played better than he gets credit for is Benjamin St. Juste, who's a corner who travels at times, who plays generally the number one receiver on the opposing team. I think you see guys occasionally get beat or give up a touchdown. Yeah. You just expect or assume that they're not playing that well. But he has clearly been their best corner on the outside this season. Seems to be getting more and more comfortable. In games where they don't play elite wide receivers or special quarterbacks, he stacks up really favorably, like yesterday. Caught up with him in the locker room after the best defensive performance for Washington this season.
Benjamin, you guys got after him today. 7 sacks of Deshaun Watson. They were 0 for their first 10 on third down. Is this one of those games that you come out of feeling like $1 million defensively?
$1 million, I don't know, because we still got a lot of work to do. But we definitely feel great. You know, I feel like we see improvement every week. And that comes from the work that we put in during the week. And then once we press on the pedal and we start seeing a few turnovers and we playing well, and we came back out at halftime, the job was not finished. Everybody's mind was on, let's take them out of their misery. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep pushing. Let's keep getting more turnovers. Let's keep sacking him. Let's keep getting off on third down. Because sometimes, you know, you can see, like, you know, the second half, guys come out and the mindset kind of shift. Like, oh, we play well. We're good. Nah, we're foot on the gas all the way until the playoffs, you know?
It felt like a blood in the water game. Like, who's going to get to him? Who's going to make the hit? There was one point where we saw Allen and Payne were like paper, rock, scissors thing on the field to see who was going to come off the field. Was it like that kind of vibe out there of someone's about to make a play?
It's the kind of culture that we're trying to cultivate, you know, throughout the whole week, throughout the whole training camp, actually, since this new staff got here. It's like, who's going to make the most plays? I mean, we got a competition on who's going to make the most plays, and we got points for it. And like I said, like our mantra, what we always say is the ball is life, you know? So even, like you said, we kind of feel the blood in the water. And once the ball is running back, quarterback, receiver, we're hunting for it. For the forced fumble, for the interception, for the tackle. It's the first person to get to the ball, gets the points, you know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of mentality we have right now as a defense.
Outside, you guys really weren't tested a ton. You had the big pass breakup on the throw down the field near the end zone. Yeah. How'd you feel about just the secondary in general kind of locking their big play opportunities down?
I mean, if we give the D-line at least 3 seconds just to cover up some routes, then after that they can do their thing. And after that, once they start getting the sacks, then they're going to try to change up a little bit their route. You just got to stay on top. Make sure you don't give them no chance to get some big gains or explosive plays. And once an offense see that they can't get any explosive plays, then it's demoralizing, you know, because now they got to run the ball. They got a nickel and dime here and there. And then, like, next thing you know, they're on third down, and then, boom, we sack them, we're off the field. If an offense can't get any explosive plays, they can't put points on the board.
How does it change things for you guys with the offense doing what it's doing? This would have been, you guys kind of at one point just said, okay, we've done enough. Backups went in there, but it would have been the third straight game with 35 or more, which would have been the first time since 1983. Like, what does that do for you guys?
That makes it, well, first of all, we're fresher because we're not on the field every time. And also, it makes it easier because the more points we score, the less momentum the other team has. Like, every time we take him out on third down and get a sack or turnover, whatever, and then we score, then the other team is like, oh, wow, we gotta climb out of this. We got to climb out of it. And at some point, they tap out, you know, and it's over. So that's what's new this year. You know, we actually have know, the offense that can go out there and put teams out the way, and then the defense just finish it off.
Lastly, 4-1, Ravens up next. I mean, you guys got to be feeling really good. A third of the way through this thing, just about where you're sitting right now.
I mean, honestly, like every week, a new opponent, and we're just going to keep doing the same formula that we've been doing. It's been working, and we're going to keep increasing the intensity and the attention to detail. It's kind of like, it's crazy. As much as it's crazy, it's like once this game is over, it's over. You know what I'm saying? Like, we forgot about it. We already moved on to the next one. We're trying to, like, recreate the same recipe. So we can't be, like, too content of, like, what we did until, you know, we have the final goal.
That's Benjamin St. Juiced in the post-game happy, loud music-laden locker room yesterday over at Northwest Stadium. I appreciate his time. One of my favorite guys to talk to. Thought he played well. Look, you get to go up against Deshaun Watson. That's going to help. There were a couple of times where Watson made life a little easier by not putting the ball in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think he is consistently, like this defense, getting better and better.
Without a doubt. And his last answer summarizes kind of the theme throughout the interview, which is going crazy and having a lot of fun is for us. Right? Fans get to dream.
Us, like, meaning the G&D radio program.
Yeah, and fans of the team and everybody watching them can have calls like our buddy Moen Largo called earlier and is like, yeah, I feel like they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm just sort of tongue-in-cheek, right? We get to do that. They're supposed to do exactly what he just said. We won the game. That's awesome, right? And we have a huge challenge ahead of us and then a whole bunch of others. They've got 12 more games. They're probably going to have to line up and play them all. You know what I mean? Nobody's awarding anybody anything just yet. And their attitude and the approach isn't we've arrived. It's this is great. That's fun. We got a lot of work to do. And you can see that sort of thematically. That's a leadership down thing, which I love.
Let's give out some game balls on Grant and Danny after a fourth straight win. Frankie Louvu, 7 tackles, the big 4th-and-1 stop on the third play of the game opening drive, 2.5 sacks, a season high, a career high, 3 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for loss, a fumble recovery. What didn't Frankie Louvu do? Also leads the speeches pregame, got the game ball and broke the team down after the game. That's a heart and soul dude. That's a badass. Big time Frankie Louvu guy here.
How about his running mate Bobby Wagner? How about a sack and a half of your own? How about a forced fumble? About 6 solo tackles? How about a TFL as well? The linebacking core have a day against the big dumb Cleveland Browns offense.
Deami Brown got his number called and made a play. He got a chance to win down the field vertically. He did. He made a catch, dropped right into the bucket. Had another nice play that you kind of forget. That was a 16-yard comeback route where he made a guy miss and got some extra yards to get down to the 11-yard line and set up more points later in the game. Only had 2 targets. He turned that into 2 catches for 57 yards and a 41-yard touchdown. This is what this receiver room is becoming. We'll talk to Alamide Zaccheaus about this. He's on the show today at 4:30. But he had the big game last week. McLaurin's the one mainstay. But there have been Noah Brown games. There's been a Luke McCaffrey sighting. He had an elevated role yesterday. Deami Brown goes a couple weeks, doesn't get his number called. Now all of a sudden it's your turn, your chance. And guys are making the most of those opportunities. Kudos to Deami yesterday.
Austin Ekeler, he's just so wonderful. If you're scoring at home, that's 8 touches for 97 yards. I say again, 8 touches for 97 yards, ripped off the big run for 50, ripped off a nice catch and run for 33, game-changing plays. These are easy button plays that Austin Ekeler provides. He is so wonderful. He is so good with the ball in his hands. This remains their best offseason signing.
I thought Mikey Sanristil was very physical. Had the big pop on Deshaun Watson along the sideline, had a couple really violent collisions, right? They talk about arriving violently. He certainly did that. He's clearly getting more comfortable as this year goes along. He's now playing a second position. He played a lot of nickel. He's played on the boundary. I like what I'm seeing from the development of a national champion with Michigan as one of the captains of the Wolverines last year. But I thought, even though it was semi-quiet, just a 4-tackle performance, not a whole lot of counting stats, when I rewatched the game, he jumped out several times.
What local 53 running back has 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games? Trick question. There's two of them. That's what's so fun. That's what's fun. Isn't it fun? I'm having fun. In addition to Brian Robinson, who wasn't much of a factor yesterday because of his bum knee, how about Jeremy McNichols? 7 rushes, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Please and thank you. This is the thing that everyone always talks about, and it's the most overused, hackneyed cliche. Next man up. Easiest thing in the world to do is yell next man up. Like, I've solved it. The easiest thing, we'll fix it all, because next man up. Eventually, the next man isn't as good as, like, the first guy that you started with. But so far, they have not missed a beat. they were able to have Brian Robinson relax for the entire second half because it's fine. Dude, McNichols has it. Why doesn't McNichols run for a whole bunch of burst and explosion with a long of 28 yesterday? That is fantastical.
Jaden Daniels, just 14 completions. He only played the three quarters, obviously, because he got to watch the fourth quarter with the rest of the starters
relaxing
on the sideline like a good team that we see watching Red Zone typically does. But 238 yards passing on those 14 completions for him. I mentioned in the first segment, and I think you guys all saw it, like accuracy was down from normal. A couple more mistakes. Should have had at least two interceptions probably. Maybe a third if Luke McCaffrey doesn't bail him out on a ball left inside. But the good plays are just so spectacular. The sack turned into 66 yards to McLaurin. The 34-yard run on 4th-and-3. The 41-yard dime that I guess he told Cliff Kingsbury he wanted to run and then dropped right into the waiting arms of De'Ami Brown in the end zone. Those big plays are the entire ballgame. The rest of it is just noise. It's just furniture in the room. It doesn't really matter. You don't notice it. Because he makes a couple plays a half that just snatch the soul of the defense and the opponent. And he did it again with Washington having six different plays of 23 or more yards yesterday.
Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman. I'm going to read off. Okay, we all know defensive player of the year, every year candidate in Myles Garrett. I'm going to read off his stat line. Okay, this is just from yesterday. You ready? Why'd that tumbleweed just go by? Nothing. He didn't record a thing. Oh, you mean no pressures, no hits, no quarterback sacks, no TFLs? No, none of those, and no tackles. Did Myles Garrett play yesterday? Prove it. He was on the field, 52 snaps, almost 80% of Cleveland's defensive plays. And you know what he was doing a bunch was jogging back, right? Because he had, like, the ball was advanced. He had to like run back, get back there. Huddle up. All right, I'll try to get the next play. Oh, no, we have to go up the field because they scored another touchdown on my ass. Zero. Zero impact yesterday. Hello there.
I would normally say that timeshare rotation platoon at left tackle makes no sense. Who cares?
Exactly.
50-50 split the last 2 weeks for Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman. And Coleman, by the way, looks like the left tackle of the future. It looks like Peters was more right and everybody else was more wrong about him far. Like a lot of the other teams that saw him as a guard. Wrong. We've got the smarter evaluator than you do. Just like Washington did all these years, you know, with Rivera and
we're used to it, yeah.
And the Marty party. By the way, Martin Mayhew, game ball. Give Martin Mayhew a game ball. He still works here.
Yeah.
Right? Play the game ball button. Martin Mayhew. Yeah, thank you. He's still here.
What does he do?
He is a part of this renaissance.
Anyone know what he does?
Imagine what the record would be if he wasn't here.
You here see we
what
go.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
4-1.
That's
Martin
right.
Mayhew. Let's go to Jack in LA on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jack?
Going on, guys. First time caller.
Thank you for making the
Thank
call.
Thank you, Jack.
And for listening
That's
on the
so
Odyssey.
So nice.
App. We appreciate it. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
This is where you talk
well,
now, Jack.
Man,
you're good. You got this.
Two game balls, man. One for Jaden Daniels. We watched him do something a quarterback in Washington hasn't done for a long time. And that was in the first couple drives he was rattled. Facing pressure. You know, they were coming at us like Tampa Bay was. But he regained composure mid-game. Right. How many times have we seen a quarterback get hit a couple times and that offense just implode? Right. So to watch him come back, regain composure and find the weakness in that defense to put up 30 plus points is something we haven't seen in Washington in a long time. And then the other game balls to the coaching staff, man, this team is getting better, you know, in game, you know, from drive to drive. They're getting better at finding those weak points and exploiting them. That front seven in the defense is finally starting to put it together and get pressure on the quarterback, and that's all due to coaching, man. So that's what I got to say. And as a fan out here in L.A., man, it's great to have a good Washington team.
Appreciate you.
It's good everywhere,
and
dude.
Thanks for joining us on the Odyssey app, and hopefully you call back and you keep checking us out. But, yeah, I will say that Jaden Daniels keeps coming. He is not deterred. He is not fazed. He is unflappable. He has that resilience you're looking for.
There's the best moments are when the defense is right and they're still broken. In other words, the defensive coordinator over there and every week is going, I got the perfect call. I'm going to scheme up an unchecked, unblocked blitzer who's more athletic than 99.9% barred of the world's human population. I've got him. I have it. I have beaten them. Nope. He's faked out of his jockstrap, left pouting on the field as Daniels jogs 34 yards down the sideline. What are you supposed to do?
He's figured out a way. He's begun to beat this kind of similarly every time, which is he just sprints out of the pocket to his right. What I love is, against Tampa, he sprinted out of the pocket to run. Now he's resetting and he's throwing to McLaurin, or he's finding McLaurin for the 12-yard play he had when he was sprinting to the sideline a little bit later on in the first half. But when he got out of the pocket, he had 6 runs for 65 yards, and he had 3 passes that were 3 for 3 for 88 yards. That is a nearly flawless performance. You flush him from the pocket, he goes 3 for 3 for 88 yards, and he runs 6 times for 65 yards and breaks your back.
It's pretty good.
Those are mostly plays where you won with pass rush. And you throw your hands up and you go, what are we supposed to do? You see it when you watch Lamar Jackson. You've seen it with Washington taking on dual threat quarterbacks like Kyler Murray and others over the years. Let's go to Sean in Falls Church. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. The words of, what is it, Bachman Turner Overdrive, mm-hmm. taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way.
Every way, yes.
Comes to mind. Yeah, yeah. I've got 2 game balls. You mentioned them. Austin Eckler, when there's a guy that can change the game in the running field, amazing. When there's a guy that can change the game in the passing field, also awesome. When he's one person, yes, sign me up every day of the week, as many times as I can. And then a guy that I think is now running like Lamar and throwing into the basket like Joe Burrow, a guy that forgets his mistakes like the last caller was saying and just goes out there and is like, no, I can do it. Jaden Daniels, number 5. He's just changing the game.
There was a video of Sam Cosmi talking to Tyler Biadasz on the sideline during the Arizona game when he was mic'd up. And he said, it's fun having 5, isn't it? And Biadasz is like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, the players, it's one of those guys recognize it. Where that play, the call wasn't good. He made it okay. That play, we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We made it okay. And it's not to say they're just bystanders. Like, the line is making his life a lot easier. They're helping him.
Yeah, it's all working.
Receivers, other than Ertz on the near fumble yesterday, nobody drops passes. I mean, they have done a really good job helping, making athletic catches. McCaffrey yesterday bailed him out. McLaurin made a really nice catch across his body. Although, speaking of drops, he dropped what should have been a touchdown, would have been the 5th of the year for Jaden Daniels. It was kind of one of his best balls of the day, frankly, right into the bucket. But just it takes an entire group. I think it goes without saying, and people don't need me to tell them, that he makes everybody better the way he's playing, not unlike Griffin in 2012 made all of their position groups better. But they are the first team since the 70 merger to score 150 or more points in their first 5 games of the season with a rookie quarterback starting. And there are so many superlatives like that. Daniels became the first quarterback ever yesterday to throw for 1,000 yards and to rush for 250 in his first 5 games in the NFL. That had never happened before. So you give him the bulk of the credit, but you tip your cap to Kingsbury and the entire operation. They got a really good thing going right now. Let's squeeze in one more on Grant and Danny. Will's in Stafford on G&D on a victory Monday. What's up, Will?
Hey, Will.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks for letting me get a call to us. My first time caller, and I have 2 game balls. My first game ball is for Biadasz, because Biadasz, we haven't had any trouble out of Biadasz. Biadasz has been quietly doing his job. He's like a secret assassin.
Dude, it's a great.
You know, he doesn't get a lot of attention.
Yeah,
but he's always focused doing his job.
I'm gonna let you give your second one in a second, but I want to give some quick numbers because Biadasz has been completely unsung. Yesterday we had him on the show. Fade him down because he's got the radio up in the background. We had him on the show last week, and Biadasz hadn't. I think we had said he had given up 0 sacks and like 1 pressure all year or something crazy like that.
Yep.
Yesterday against the Browns, 66 snaps, 0s across the board, sacks, pressures, hits, penalties. Still has not committed a penalty all year. Had an 85 PFF blocking grade yesterday. He has been fantastic.
And when you don't notice the center because there's no snaps going over people's heads or ground balls to the shortstop back there, a.k.a. the quarterback, then you know you're doing a good job.
Will, who's your other game ball for? Sorry, buddy.
My other game ball was for Jonathan Allen, because Jonathan Allen started showing up yesterday. He showed up. Yeah, I heard his name mentioned more yesterday than I had pretty much in the first other four games.
You're right. I mean, it's actually two games in a row where he's been a lot better, but yesterday by far his best game of the season. I believe Coach Zorn had something, though, that he wanted to say to Will, didn't he? You guys sleep. That audio, literally from the last time they were 4-1, 16 years ago in 2008.
Oh, man.
In the locker room, basically yesterday, 16 years ago. Jim Zorn leading the boys in hip, hip, hooray.
16 years, man. What were you doing 16 years ago?
I was at George Mason University, where I was a sophomore, I believe. Sophomore? Why do people say that sometimes?
I don't know.
They do a TH. You've heard that.
Yeah, sophomore. I think they don't know any better.
I was a sophomore at George Mason University eating at Ike's or, I don't know, enjoying myself over at President's Park with a buddy or two. The good times. Carefree.
Old Jim Zorn had the boys rolling.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Speaking of head coaches, have their team rolling. Dan Quinn hitting the podium for his Monday presser live. As soon as we return, we'll have Dan Quinn's first remarks after he watched the film live for you. His press conference right here on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Jackson, where he's a designed running back, he's doing it on his own.
He'll launch this time.
That was the Fox call of Deami Brown getting loose up top. Jaden Daniels finding him and getting Washington to 24 points in the first half. We're awaiting the start of Dan Quinn's press conference on this Monday after a fourth straight win for his Commanders. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Yesterday, Danny, I just tweeted out the video I posted from during the game. There was a wave at Northwest Stadium. I think that's being talked about as much as it is because of the symbolism of just kind of the energy in the stadium and the excitement of the fans. But it felt and looked different in-house. What was it like for you on TV?
It seemed like there was plenty of juice. So in other words, when
there was so much burgundy, too. Yeah. It was not a big Browns crowd at all.
And so what normally, I mean, and I still, not even normally, all the time, I think the wave is the worst. But it all shows is that everyone's there having fun. Like, that's what's happening.
You don't like the wave for football?
I don't like the wave ever. No one should be doing the wave.
Oh, see, I think that's a bad take. The wave in baseball, there is this thing that, to me, is like it's an old school sport and they don't really do it. I think it's always been kind of cool for football. I've never heard of it being a like shunned thing in that sport.
Yeah, it should be. We should just not do it.
Is that a no fun Rouye take, or is that something that you think is like an unwritten rule?
I don't think it's an unwritten rule. I never heard it specifically with football.
So it's more you don't like it.
Yeah, I just think like the sport's happening, let's like cheer appropriately instead of being like, this guy's going to stand up, then I'll stand up. I think it's so silly.
Are you okay with cheering?
Yeah.
You're okay with smiling?
You should be doing. You should be having fun.
Smiling
but,
is good?
No, what's goofy is like, now we got to stand up, but like if we do it in the right sequence, then they boo the guy that doesn't stand up. The whole thing's dumb.
But don't buy any gear, definitely.
Don't buy any with the C word on it. I'll do that.
And definitely don't do the wave.
Right.
And if you see Major Tutty, can you wave at him?
I wouldn't.
Okay,
but I'm not going to take it right away. You're allowed to do all these things if you'd like to be mocked by me. It's your right.
Major,
sing the stupid embarrassing song too.
Major Tutty yesterday got a hug from Brian Robinson. Everybody wants to give Dan Quinn a hug. He's got the boys 4-1. Let's get out to Ashburn.
Yeah, I think the one that really set it off, John, was the explosive play that went outside the pocket from Jaden to Terry. And you and I have even had that discussion of remaining a passer and, you know, being able to stay and throw the ball down the field, where maybe early in the season on that play, we might have seen Jaden use his legs, and he certainly did on other plays in this game. But on that one in particular, that's the marker to me, was the one that really set it off to go down the field. But what I do like about both sides, to know that defensively, to go get some stops, to give the ball back to the offense, to give some shots, that was a big piece of this, John, of going back and forth. And that's kind of the complementary ball of what I've been talking about, to feed off one another. And it was really cool to see that. Tackling, I would say, would be the biggest one for me. I think on the day we might have been at four, John, and we had been in double digits in previous games. And so that part, when you have a game where you can tackle, it means our tracking is getting better, the technique to go through that. I love the energy that our special teams groups are bringing in terms of the coverage aspect. And, you know, on those ones, those are tackling opportunities too. So I think the more that we're doing this, you know, the better the tackling is becoming. You're welcome.
Hi, Dan. Kind of along those same lines, was there a point where you really started to see the defense kind of get it together, turn things around really in the last couple weeks?
I certainly felt like Arizona was a step in the right direction for us, Nikki. They started, you know, the rush, how does it go? And we played better on third downs to create some longer third downs. So I think some of those ones of, you know, the first downs, they go to a second and long, you make a good stop. Those are the ones, Nikki, and maybe there's some hidden ones on the first downs to make sure, you know, you're under 5 yards, as that's going to create some longer third downs. I also really felt the energy and the speed of the players. I felt that from, I can remember clearly one going to the defensive left with John Allen early in the game, you know, chasing Deshaun down, who can absolutely fly. So to see, you know, one of the big guys really hauling to go, I thought that was a really big deal. But the tackling, I thought, has increased over the last couple of weeks. Nikki, we're still not getting quite the takeaways that I'd hoped we would, but I do feel like those shots are now becoming more apparent in terms of the forced fumbles and how we could go get those. But that's the next step for us.
And I know before the draft, there were so many comparisons between Jaden and Lamar Jackson, and I'm sure the comparisons will come back up this week. What did you make of those? And, you know, as he's heard those and your experience with him, you know, how have you seen?
You're listening to Dan Quinn's press conference in Ashburn Monday after.
I think everybody knows, you know, how, you know, exceptional and remarkable Lamar is. And so I get why people would say that. Here's somebody who's got athletic ability and can absolutely rip it as well. But I've always wanted Jaden to be the best version of him, you know, and absolutely go for it in that way. They'll feature different ways in the offense than we do. But, you know, as far as like comparison, I didn't allow myself to kind of go down all that road. I just really wanted to kind of stay in all the things that he could do and how we would feature him in our offense with our guys.
Ben. Hey, Dan. Just curious, how did Brian Robinson come out of the game? I noticed he didn't have a carry in the second half.
Yeah, he came out well, Ben. We're, you know, with more just monitoring, really, to make sure we didn't, you know, get too many. There was a couple guys in that same space. Quan Martin was one that, you know, is going to be okay, but had some, you know, got banged up a bit. But Brian was really strong down in the red zone like he always is. But, yeah, it was just more of a coaching decision on that one to make sure we could absolutely, you know, get him set and ready for the next one.
Okay. And on the defensive side, you've talked about marrying the pass rush with the coverage all along. And obviously, it was a little bit of a slow start, but as the pass rush has improved, looks like you've gone to more man coverage in times, and especially in this game. Is that an example of what you're talking about? With, you know, with one thing happening, you can kind of lean into a different plan that you may have wanted all along?
I think it'll be a little bit by the game, Ben, you know, in terms of where the matchups are, what the distance is for some of the third downs to go. So, you know us, we've been, you know, trying to mix and match to, you know, get the right grouping in and the right people. But what I have seen is just the overall nature and aggressiveness of the group arrow is going up into that spot. But as far as like more man or more zone or more pressure or not, really that kind of just depends on each opponent each week. And we're still, you know, kind of digging in to compete for that.
Sam. adjustments as teams get more film on Jaden, or is it more opponent-specific, week-to-week sort of deal?
Yeah, right now to me, Sam, it feels week-to-week as we're just kind of getting warmed up still on a lot of it. So each team, I think, will play to their own style. And like everybody plays some forms of zone and some mans, but who blitzes more, who doesn't, who uses a spy on him, who doesn't, because those are all things that if you use a spy, you're not blitzing as much because you're not taking, you know, the extra player to go. Or if you're, you know, trying to blitz, you know, you're vulnerable on, you know, some of the deep balls and things that go with that. So going into it, I would say they're probably still digging in because there's another side of our offense in the run game that is a really important part of that. I think we've talked about that, Sam, the importance of having run and play pass that goes with it, because now you're not just, you know, relying on a drop back game. So having the yin to the yang and the run and the play pass that goes with it, that's kind of the secret sauce, you know, to make a offense really hard to defend, where you have both that you have to be able to do.
Dan Quinn meeting with the media after yesterday's win over the Browns, and it was a decisive 34-13 win for Washington. Tons still coming up on the show, including a conversation with wide receiver Alamide Zaccheaus at 4:30. You're going to hear from former head coach Jay Gruden on his evaluation of the tape of Jaden Daniels' performance at 5. Fidarian Mathis had one of his best games as a pro. He'll be on the show today at 6 as we continue here on G&D. Danny, I do want to bring up something Quinn just said, though, briefly. He talked about the way that some of the guys were playing, for lack of a better phrase, what I call away from the ball, like some of the hustle stuff. Zaccheaus had a play where he runs a jet action away from the snap. Eckler goes on a basically motion toward the right, gets a carry off tackle. And so he's on the complete other side of the field of Zaccheaus. Eckler rips off a 50-yard run. Zaccheaus very easily, and most of the time in the league, would have just kind of lollygagged his way up.
You can go 65-70% and nobody notices.
He hauled you-know-what at 100 miles an hour to get toward the play in case he might be able to throw a block or help or do something. Eckler ends up fumbling. Zaccheaus pounces on the ball. One of those hidden plays that describes, you know, the thing that we rolled our eyes about a little bit in the offseason. He's a commander. He plays the way the commander way. We gave him the commander tag, the commander label. I see it with Luke McCaffrey, the way he digs guys out in the running game and blocks and puts his body on the line. I love the way these guys, not just the receiver room, but generally play away from the ball. There is something to a buy-in.
And that's the phrase, is buy-in.
Like I kind of have to cringe when I say it, but like this brotherhood bit that they do.
Yeah.
It is a real thing right now, the way that they're playing for one another.
Because you can say it, but it's different when nobody's watching. Now, we happen to see the Zaccheaus play, right? But what about the other 75 times there's a nice play and we don't see it? Like if Zaccheaus had just sprinted down there for no reason and Eckler never fumbles, really nice play by the defender, by the way, to get back in and force that after a 50-yard gain. But if Zaccheaus doesn't have to run down there, do we notice it, right? It's the kind of thing where it's, you know, we all, like, what was it? Was it last week or the week before where I think it was Allegretti recovered that fumble? Really athletic play, great job.
Just, oh, that was the Cincy game.
Cincy,
on the
right?
Hurts fumble.
Yeah, doing the team thing where it's not just when everybody's watching, it's every time. And it's a wave crashing on the shore. A lot of times you don't notice it, doesn't even matter. But the time that it does, thank God you're there.
Blitz top of the hour is going to be a Commander's Blitz for you today on Grant and Danny. And I want to get into the defensive improvement. I mean, they dominated the game on Sunday. Next hour, we'll get into whether that has more to do with the Browns' offense being dreadful or Washington really having turned a corner. Next, what was your game day experience like? Where'd you watch from? How'd you enjoy yourself as part of our double play? Grant and Danny on the Fan, our double play each day right now at 345, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. thought what's going on in our lives could be actually football and Commanders theme today, with them getting to 4-1 in a huge win, fourth straight win, 2-0 at home now, by giving a look at how our game days were spent. We can go round the horn here in the room. So your boy was there. I enjoyed myself. I was in the press box to be in press box Paulson yesterday.
Indeed, yes, of course.
Went into the locker room, get some interviews. You'll hear from Alamazita Kias at 4:30 and Fedarian Mathis at 6 o'clock, both very excited after big wins for Washington yesterday. But the wife went. My mom came up. My parents were nice enough to watch the kids all day, babysit. That's a grind, man. That's three kids from like 9 a.m.
to a lot, dude.
5 p.m. So tip of the cap to them. Wife's a season ticket holder and gets to go to a few games a year now, and we give her ticket to, you know, friends, family, whatever, the rest of the time. But they had a massive tailgate back to like 2012 lore. They had over 40 people,
I think,
one point in time playing Flip Cup and doing all the bits and skits that they like to do in the parking lot. It was a perfect day for football. It was gorgeous, 70-ish degrees. It was just so nice out. And I know just from making the rounds and walking around a little bit and getting to bump into some listeners, it was kind of the ideal day before the kickoff for Washington to go play football against the Browns. And then obviously the game was the icing on the cake and ended up really making the whole thing work. But just a feel-good day for your boy to be at the stadium, to see people doing the wave, being excited, being happy for once, go home to my kid who's wearing a Jaden Daniels jersey who thinks the Commanders have just always been great. He's 3 years old.
That's all like, I'm used to, Dad.
I said, did you see the game? He's like, we won. I said, yeah. He's like, we always win. Sure.
Totally.
If that's what you think, then that's what we're going to keep it as.
That is true.
But I enjoyed myself. What was your game day like?
Oh, it's so many activities. A little bit of kids sports. Then we went to the Waterford Fair. My wife's aunt and uncle put that on. Or they're not, they don't put it on. They're part of the group that like volunteers and gets the whole thing together. So it's like, you know, beautiful old town outside of Leesburg. A lot of walking around. Gorgeous day. Local artisans, vendors,
is this
that
uncle
kind of
Jim?
Stuff. Yep.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How's he doing?
He's doing just fine.
All right. Tell him I said hello.
I certainly will not. But we had a great day. Walked around a million miles and saw different a couple folks that recognized me, said they enjoyed the show, which is really, really cool. So I had to watch the game on DVR. And right before we left, somebody who I hadn't talked to yet, I guess must have recognized me or, you know, knew that there was football interest somewhere somehow. But he came up to me and shook his head. And he goes, "Can you believe the Skins?" And I'm going, oh, no. I'd avoided the score all day. I'd avoided everything that had to do with the game the entire day. And I'm going, they played that. They did that game. They did the thing where there's expectations and people are going, I'm going to my first game in 25 years. And I'm real excited, I tell you. It's going to be grand. They're going to win the home side, Will. You'll see. It'll turn for us. Our number will come in. I'm going, they did it. They laid the turd. They stunk. They lost at home to the stupid Browns who can't complete a forward pass. And then I got home and watched on DVR, and it was the opposite.
So you successfully got home not knowing the result?
That's right.
How is that possible? I never understand how people are able to do this. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to make the effort to do it, which is admirable. Congratulations to you. You don't bump into one person? You don't get a text message? Do you just mute all of your texts?
The texts are coming in, but I'm not very respondy. In that time, if that makes
sense.
But
you still see things. I mean, even on our, I didn't even think about it. Like, you don't tell us not to text you. So, like, on our show thread or whatever, we're like, oh my God, or like, Diami.
Yeah, so if I see, oh my God, it could mean, again, that Cleveland just scored or whatever.
Diami did it or whatever the comment is, let's say.
Mm-hmm. So, I didn't happen to see those.
Okay.
So, the ones I, like, stuff I see, like, where I can't avoid it, like, it's on my, I don't even take my phone out because the people I need to contact are right there.
Do you actively avoid it?
Yeah, I mean, do the best I can. But, like, you know, my watch will buzz, and I see one, oh, my God, which could mean Deshaun Watson just threw a touchdown pass to somebody or something like that.
There's probably going to be a time in my life where there are activities that go on opposite the NFL. I don't want that to happen, and I will do everything in my power to make sure it doesn't.
Yeah, this is one of those, this is their special thing, happens once a year.
No, I'm not talking about that.
No, I'm saying,
your kids are playing flag football normally on Sunday at 1.
Yeah, from 12 to 1. And I'm going, the tide has swept me up in all this. Like, what I'd like to be is at home with the lights off in an air-conditioned room eating snacks, watching the game, and usually getting sad. But this is different. So this is one of those, like, I got to suck it up and do it.
Respectfully, Uncle Jim, I hope your event goes great.
Oh, no.
I get 18 of these. So we'll see you next year. Let's not plan it on a Sunday in the fall.
His response is, there's only one of these. There's only one Waterford Fair.
And to that, I would say, have a great Waterford Fair.
Enjoy the fair.
Because I got Jaden Daniels doing work. Darius, you were at the game. What was your experience like in the stadium?
So, it was awesome, first of all. I have to thank you for getting us access to field passes.
Yeah.
Me and my boy and his kid were able to go and get down on the field. Got to see a couple players. He got a couple pictures. He got some autographs, which is awesome. So that was an awesome experience, my first time getting field passes. But aside from that, I mean, honestly, in all the times that I've been to FedEx, VX Northwest, whatever we want to call it.
The place where all they do is win by a lot.
Yeah, that place.
Nubs Field, where they commit wins.
In all my times going there over the last, let's just say, decade, I always feel like there's kind of like a nervous energy when you're there. Of course, throughout the game, but even sometimes before the game, there's this nervous energy of, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to botch today?
We call
this,
that and the angst other. Or possibly like a preparation for the inevitable, right? Like you've kind of decided.
Yeah, you're a doomsday prepper.
I'm okay with whatever's going to happen.
Yesterday, I didn't feel that not one time yesterday.
Wow.
Even after the interception, there was this confidence within everybody around me and the crowd around me. We'll bounce back. You know, it's fine.
How much of that is this? That we just knew, everyone watching that game, you could give the Browns the ball at the one to start every drive and they won't score touchdowns. Because remember, they got the ball first and goal from the two, and then they had penalty, sack, penalty, and then that play that I still don't know what happened where Deshaun Watson just quit and walked to the bench, and Kevin Stefanski looked at him like he was going to grab him by the neck. He wanted the John Papelbon, Bryce Harper him, it looked like. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course. I thought there were 12 men in the huddle.
That happened two other times later in the game. On that particular play, they couldn't get a play in or something. They were down to like 15 seconds. They'd already burned one timeout to start the second half. So you either have to burn another one or take the delay. You're down three touchdowns. A field goal doesn't help you. That was the moment where I said, this is the worst team I think I've seen live in my life. Like, this looks like a high school team that would lose by 27 to a middle school team. They were so bad.
Offensively, they're pretty gross.
If I was Kevin Stefanski, I would have quit in that moment. I would have said, I'm better than this. I'm a two-time coach of the year. You've saddled me with this loser contract. You're all losers. Peace out. I would have flipped them the bird, and I would have walked up the tunnel. Fire my ass. And I would have just sat out for the rest of the year and gotten a job the beginning of next year.
I was going to say, I would try to get fired. I would do like a George Costanza, take the trophy and drive it around.
Seriously, this is how everyone's like, you can't bench him. The owner will fire you. Please do. Yeah. I got two more years left at $70 million guaranteed against the cap for this loser.
I tell you this, I would absolutely bench him.
Fire me.
I would bench him now. I would have a press conference. I'd bring everyone in, and I'm going to go, we're going with Jameis Winston. We're going to have him, you know, giving weird pregame speeches and eating W's and then whatever comes with that. We're going to ride that roller coaster. I'm not doing this anymore.
Darius, real quick, because we're late. Commanders merch being purchased in your vicinity?
You mean by other fans around me? Because I didn't have the money to do that.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, did you see anybody buying gear?
I didn't see anybody in particular like come back to their seat with newly purchased gear. Everybody around me seemed to have already had their Commander's gear, so yeah.
Oh, that's good news, right, Danny?
Yeah.
There's one dude awesome. There's one dude wearing Redskins pajamas. I thought that was weird.
Uh-huh. I get sized for the pajama look at a game.
Tough for me.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm a big Zuba pants guy. Looks like pajamas, no doubt. Be comfortable. Enjoy yourself. It's 70 degrees. Mm. The Commanders are 4-1. We will give away Caps tickets at the top of the hour as soon as we return next on Grant and Danny.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.